Welcome back to TASPOcast. We dedicate this episode to the memory of Dr. Ed West, TASPO's first executive director who passed away on April 7th. Today's guests include our new board president, Elaine Cogburn, deputy superintendent at Dripping Springs ISD, and executive director, Tracy Ginsburg. Today, we discuss the challenges ahead and how best to cope. I'm your host, Tom Greer. So Elaine, 15 years ago, when I first started at TASPO, you and Ed Wamos were one of the first members that I ever interacted with besides the board, because there was a leadership retreat in Fredericksburg. And so I always remembered you. It's tough with, at the time we had 4,000 members, it's tough to remember all the members, but it was comforting because I knew you and Ed Wamos, and that was a good start. But who knew I was sitting next to the future president of TASPO? What is it like to be board president?
15 years. Wow. It took me a long time. I'm a late bloomer. I remember that. It was a fun time. So being board president, honestly, wow, it's humbling and overwhelming to serve on a board with such fantastic and knowledgeable people. It's such an honor. My fellow board members are just great people. And to work alongside them and the amazing TASPO staff, it's just an honor. And I really enjoy the work and the mission of our organization.
Excellent. And so now, Tracy, you were board president before. And actually, when I first started, you were immediate past president.
Okay.
In your time since you were executive director, which is actually over 10 years ago, you have worked with more than 10 board presidents, many of which were your colleagues.
Right.
What advice would you give Elaine and others seeking to lead a board or committee or other leadership position?
Well, I think that Elaine and others before her kind of model this behavior that it's a team effort with the board. Building that team and looking forward collectively towards the common goal of making TASPO a better place. From that time in Fredericksburg at 4,000 members to 9,100 members today, it's because of a partnership between the board and administration and us working together to lead TASPO. And I've been doing a lot of research and on board onboarding recently. And one of the things that they point to is the necessity to play together and to build those strong relationships. And there's no one better than playing and building relationships than Elaine. We have a board meeting coming up. She's got some fun things planned with the board. And so I'm very excited to have her as leader in this chair. At the end of the day, we all need to take a deep breath and make sure that we're ensuring that our members are well taken care of and that we as board and leaders of TASPO take care of ourselves.
Well, speaking of that, that's interesting that talk about self-care. There's a common expression to denote a high level of concern, like what keeps you up at night. And a lot of our members are weak, and that's one thing that we do to help them is, a lot of things that stress them that we try and provide solutions for. Elaine, what are stressors that you and other members are experiencing? What is literally keeping y'all up at night these days?
Well, first of all, I have to admit, I've always been pretty good at leaving work at work. I value my personal time, so I make sure to take care of myself. But if I were to stay up at night because of something work-related these days, I would just say it's the future of public education. I mean, so many things have changed since my daughter went to school, and I'm really worried about what school will look like when my grandson starts school. You know, kids are coming to school with more behavior and emotional problems. I've seen funding and budget challenges since I started in the mid-90s, but this just feels different. Now there's just so much distrust in the system, and it just makes everything more difficult. I feel like we're already so transparent in everything that we do. So you just, at the end of the day, have to remember why you do what you do.
Tracy, do you have anything to add to that?
Well, I would agree with Elaine. Public education is the bedrock of our society, and it's the foundation of democracy. Every child's entitled to a free public education. And we seem to have lost sight of that. And I worry very, very much about the future. And I find myself worrying about Michael and Matthew, my grandsons. They're in a great school district. They've got a bright future. But yeah, I wonder if we're going to be able to continue to provide the programming that our parents are accustomed to and need with the level of funding, because it's there's absolutely a lack of concern and awareness, if you will, for our public school budgets. You know, and you can talk great big numbers, but tax compression does not fund public education. Certainly helps the taxpayer, and I think it is a benefit and probably a necessity, because our taxing system is a taxing system, you know, tends to cost more in some home to some homeowners than other taxing systems, but it's the only system we've got. And replacing property tax revenues with another tax is just not an option, but continuing to compress to where there's not money available for the day-to-day needs of public education is also not the answer.
Is there anything bright spots that, you know, I know that the one thing that we wanted to, we actually in strategic planning, we did talk about, you know, taking care of the members, but, and there's a lot of things that, like I said before, we do to help them alleviate concerns. We are here for them a lot of times, particularly Amanda Brownson's team in policy and research and Sanford School of Finance. They can guide people through things that there's there's not always a lot of easy answers for. But at the individual level, it's like, what can you give that can alleviate people's concerns and really focusing on what they can't control as opposed to some things that they can't control as far as funding it. And that could be best practices, but it could also be you can control your diet a little bit. You can control, you can get better rest. You can walk more.
I think all schools are promoting health awareness. We partner with Million Mile Month, and we have a challenge here at TASPA during the month of April.
Hey, Tracy, you need to update your miles.
I put it in there. I'm not walking as much, I have to admit.
You want my miles?
I need to phone a friend. I know I feel better when I'm exercising. Elaine and I both go to the same Pilates studio. And
I'm just waiting for the day we walk in and see each other at 5 a.m. with no makeup and no hair.
So you guys are morning workout.
No, I'm a night one. Okay. But I am going to have to break down and meet Elaine to make my schedule work.
God bless y'all. I can't even imagine working out in the morning, but I do find that weekend, when I do work out on the weekends, it's helpful because I'm not working all day. And because normally when I do work out, it's after going through traffic, which is getting worse in Austin.
Yes.
And then you go home, you don't eat yet, and then you work out. We had a discussion with Rose and Justin, and Justin's a early riser.
Yes. Sometimes we ride our Pelotons in the morning together.
I mean, that's right. If you go to an event, especially like a TASPO conference, you can see those early risers getting in their treadmill work in and their cyclist work in. To each his own, and everybody has different preferences. The one thing Tracy, you did mention a Million Mile Month. One thing that does is it gamifies behavior. They do have resources to help you start. There is a lot of self-reporting, although they don't have connections to Apple wearables. There's other wearables that feed into it. It's a fun system. TASA is also a partner with it, and TASB. Mm-hmm. And there's dozens of school districts that participate. Even though it's going to be mid-April, in retro, you can go back, and if you've kept track of your activities, you can take part.
I will add, man, I thought of the last night. We are very competitive at TASPA. We had a staff meeting, and I was amazed at some of our staff members that were concerned about being beat by the bikers. how you can get further on the competitions if you watch it.
Yeah, that's right. I did get points for gardening. So, well, so you can add gardening to, and farming if you're a farmer. Well, on a sadder note, this week we learned of the passing of Dr. Ed West. Tracy, you knew him pretty well. What can you tell us about Ed?
Well, I remember when I began my career, in 1985. So yes, I'm old, at El Paso IFC, and my boss was on the TESPA board at the time. And believe it or not, we had conference in El Paso. So I remember standing in the lobby and meeting Ed, and he had not been executive director all that long at that point. He was TESPA's first executive director. He was, you know, he was just so kind and so genuinely interested in you as a person. And he served kind of in a volunteer role and leadership role before becoming named the first executive director while he was superintendent at Northeast. And there's just some great stories with some of our older members, Phil Fuller and Omar Garza, about, you know, how they prepared for conference and made sure everything was, you know, in El Paso or in McAllen or some of the other areas that we had conference in the early days when we were smaller. And he was just had such a belief in training, and he was so kind and just a leader. He left TASPO, you know, once he retired from TASPO, he continued to lead he lived in the Horseshoe Bay area, and he continued to lead in that area in other organizations. So
when he was executive director, that's when the certification program got its start, correct?
Correct. You know, it became very small. And, you know, I've always said, one of my hobbies, if you will, is reading the old minutes and kind of trying to get a feel for what TASPO was like. And it wasn't a unanimous vote. There were a group of board members who did not see the didn't like the way it was set up, or I don't understand that we have over 3,200 members today who are certified and 1,400 additional members working towards certification. And I don't know where they would be in their career without the training and where TASPO would be without that leadership. As a matter of fact, we are working with five other states in helping them build their programs. So
just fantastic. Just a true leader, a legacy. For, you know, we all lead in some way, but to leave a legacy like Dr. Ed West is just phenomenal.
Yeah. You know, there's only been four of us as executive directors, and each of us brought different talents to the table, if you will, and just helped built upon the strengths of the one for us. And, you know, he had the big footsteps to fill. Bill Phipps followed him, and, you know, Bill took it and ran with an enthusiasm. And then Gwen came and helped build our GR arm. And then I don't know what you'll say about me, but anyway.
Very, 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 very big shoes to fill. Tracy, you've done a phenomenal job. Well, you selling yourself short.
Well, at some point, and I think it was after Ed West retired as executive director, but they didn't set up the TASPO Foundation, and they named the scholarship after him. As a matter of fact, we are accepting scholarships through May 15th. Briefly tell us about the scholarship program. And
we have scholarships that target three different groups of people. If you are sitting in a leadership position and you want to pursue your graduate degree, an MBA or a doctorate, we have a 2-year scholarship that will help offset tuition, about $4,000 of tuition. The scholarship fund kind of began with the undergraduate scholarship. Over years, that's all we have. That's for, you know, someone who has worked their way up in school business, but they don't have the degree in the next step to leadership requires that piece of paper, if you will. We have a 4-year scholarship to help offset the costs of college and that degree. And then finally, several years ago, we implemented an auxiliary scholarship, because those are the groups that are raising lots of money for our scholarship fund. And it,
that's your maintenance operations.
Okay. So if you have someone on your team that you think should go on for a higher level of HVAC training, we've had someone who needed to do project management because they were over construction, just a variety of things. We have a scholarship to attend the trade school and get a certification.
On the graduate track, one thing I have seen a couple times is participants in the Concordia University of Texas MBA and SFO program, they've also used mm-hmm. that. And so that's a good way to supplement the mm-hmm. tuition there.
I think there's a new cohort starting with Concordia. So,
any final words of wisdom, Tracy?
I just want to thank Elaine. I'm looking forward to working alongside you in your president role. And I just thank our members. I know it's going to be a long, hard budget season. And I just want you to know that we're here to help. If you just want a phone call and just an ear to listen, if you want some ideas on where you could look or what you could do, we're happy to help you. We're here. We're here for you.
Thank you, Tracy. I would just add to that, you know, when you fly, the flight attendants always say, if you need to use your mask, put it on yourself first before your kids or your loved ones. You've got to take care of yourself. It's budget season. It's spring. So just be sure to take care of yourself, because you're no good to anybody if you're not well.